Well, I'm about to get real controversial this morning. Hallelujah. I pray that everyone in here this morning got one of these little pamphlets in your bulletin. If you do not have one of them, would you raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you? Please get these hands up nice and high. These are important issues that we're talking about. I am taking my coat off. I break every rule in seminary they tell you not to do. I just do it anyways. I don't care. My wife says, you're not supposed to blow your nose on the stage. Well, when you cry like I do sometimes, you have no other options. Hallelujah. So if you need one of these are really important. You have no more of them? Okay, if you don't have them, we'll make another 100 or so of them. You can have them. And we encourage you to pass these out to all your friends. So I want to talk about something that is really facing our culture. I want to remind you that we're living in a time that culture is becoming more effective than the Bible in many people's minds. It's the truth. I read a survey by Christianity Today, and among evangelicals, it was said that only 52% believed the Bible was absolute truth. 52%. Many of them said they didn't know if there was a literal resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Can you hear me okay? Am I loud enough? Too loud? Okay, because I can't tell up here. And so it's important that we know what we believe and why we believe it. The Apostle Paul categorized the days we're living in as perilous. I would say that Hurricane Irma is perilous. The last great hurricane that hit Florida, I think, was Andrew. And Andrew can fit inside of this one a couple times. It's perilous. In fact, I read where the governor said, if you can't get out, hide. Go someplace. But if you can, get out of the state. Because it's perilous. Perilous has a sense of it that there's doom and destruction with it. What Paul was saying in the latter days, how many believe that we're living in these latter days? If you don't have time today, but take some time this week and look at Matthew 23 and 24, you will see that we are starting to live the unfolding of the latter days. The gospel is going forth to all nations. In your lifetime and my lifetime, it can be completed, the job. There's a lot of work to do, but the church is moving in that direction. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8, all of creation is groaning and waiting for him. The question is, will we be influenced by the culture as a church, or shall we influence our culture? You know, the Apostle Paul and the early Christians, when they lived in Rome, the state government religion was called Roma. And they were persecuted for it. Matter of fact, Roman literature says that Christians were called heretics. They were called the occult. Christians were. And today, among all the nations, there is a religion. Secular humanism is becoming the religion of the nations. They are recreating God in their image. And it's a dangerous thing. Because more than anything Americans export, they export culture. I've been through about 40 nations, and I'm telling you, wherever I go, Americans have exported culture. And so I'm going to look this morning, and when I say some of the things I'm going to say, this is to you as Christians, as a believer. Some of the things that are put down in here are biblical absolutes, I believe, but whatever you say, you must say it in love. You must say it prayerfully. We'll talk about that. I want to remind you that all of us have been shapen in sin and conceived in iniquity. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one person who hasn't. So we must be careful. We must be full of love when we speak to people who have opposing view. One of the problems with the extreme left is that they want to shut down free speech. I'm talking about the extreme left. The extreme right, they just want to kill everybody. Anyways, that's another thing. It's no longer, I can remember as a young man, my father was very much involved with the union here in Albany, New York. He helped organize it. And I can remember as a young man, we would go to all the Christmas parties and things the union had. And they had a big saying there. It says, I might not agree with what you say, but I'll die for your right to say it. That's no longer true in America. They want to silence our dissent. There's a whole movement of people who don't want to hear your opinion. But we have a First Amendment. We have a right to our own opinion. Even if it disagrees with the government, even if it disagrees with everybody else, we have a right to speak what we believe. And you must cherish that right, because there's a lot of nations that don't have that right. A couple people, one is Sammy Kahn. 3-4 times a week, he sends me something about persecuted Christians around the world. It would make you weep. Those who don't have that right. We must remember that we have this right. And by the way, it wasn't given to us by the government. It was given to us by God. He's a lot bigger than the government. Amen? I'm going to look at the scripture. I want to talk about biblical understanding of transgender, the transgender movement that's happening in America. It's pervasive. And I'm going to talk from, it should be up there, Psalms 100. It is not boast in the Lord. You guys, did you get my email today? Okay, all right. Let's just sit there and judge those people. Dun, 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 dun. So did you get that or did you not get that? I sent it to you, I sent it to you, and I sent it to City Harvest. No, that's old. Okay, but I had a whole outline there. Okay. So I want to talk about biblical understanding of the transgender movement in America. And we're going to go from Psalms 100, verse 3. The psalmist said this. He said, "Know that the Lord himself is God." I just want to stop there before I read the rest of that verse. The scripture uses a Hebrew word called El Elyon. It means he is the possessor of heaven and earth. He's not just an ideology, a philosophy. He is the creator. He is the possessor of heaven and earth. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipotent. He is the great I am. He is and was and always will be the only true and living God. There is none other besides him. There is no one in the same category. And the psalmist says, "Know that the Lord himself is God." And this is where the attack is about gender confusion here. Remember this. It says, "It is he who has made us and not we ourselves." That's where all the contention in America and among the nations is starting right now. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. It was the Lord who made us, not we ourselves. You know, in America, there's basically two core type of churches. There's those churches who believe the scriptures to be an inspired word of God, that he is the source of our supply, that is inerrant, is immutable, it's inscripturation. We believe this is the word of God. Amen? And we believe that those who follow Jesus should adhere to this. We believe for the true Christian that all ground is holy ground, every bush is a burning bush, and there is no such thing as secular and sacred. If Jesus is the way, truth, and the life, let's follow him. Amen. If you're just bored, you have nothing to do on Sunday morning, go somewhere else. Get another job. Make some money. Because there's places that have a lot nicer seats. The PA is better. But if he is the way, the truth, and the life, we should live like that. And then there's those second type of church who are religious. When I say the word religious, I don't mean relationship. I'm just religious. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of this. The Bible says that the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than the two-edged sword. There are people who go to church who don't even believe the Bible. It's true. There are people who have this theology about God. All that we need to know about him is right here. The self-revealing, the self-evident, only true and living God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. But there has been this massive revision, or it's ongoing right now, what it means in America and in the nations to be male and female. This is important. The assault on understanding how God created you and me is an assault against God. It's an affront against who God says he is. Know that the Lord himself is God, and it's he who made us. We didn't make ourselves. And by and large, the spirit of the age no longer discerns or delights in the beauty of what God has created in humanity. The Bible says that God rejoices over us with singing. Not only do we rejoice over him, we're the apple of his eye. God created you and me for relationships. That's what it was in the very beginning. And the Bible reveals that. And so, you know, many deny that God created human beings for his glory and that his purpose did not include male and female. It included male and female and other things. Years and years ago, I was in India, and India for years has practiced what we're talking about with transgenderism. They called it the third eye. I met people who would have a third eye, they called it, and they were people who were a mixture of genders. And that concept of Hinduism is bleeding down through the nations. And it's common, I think it's common to think that human identity, both male and female, is not part of God's plan. Rather, it's the individual's autonomous preference. I will decide, not God. God did not make me. He is not God. I will remake myself in the image of who I think I am. It is my right to identify with whatever I want to identify with. And no God, no one else is going to tell me what I will and will won't do. It's an affront against the only true and living God. It's an affront against the gospel. Listen to me this morning. Look, I'm not trying to be mean. I want to throw some ideas out and tell you how we should handle it. But this is imperative that we understand this morning. Amen? Yeah. Couple questions. Will the Church of Lord Jesus Christ lose her biblical conviction, clarity, and courage, and blend into the spirit of the age? 44% of Americans will go to church today. A high percentage of them are going to hell, and they don't even know it. I meet people all the time who think they're saved by good works. I never killed nobody. So that's the crucible question this morning. As believers in the 21st century, are we going to allow culture to change who we are, or are we going to change the culture? The Bible says that the early apostles, that they turned the world upside down. They were salt. Salt seasons things. We are called to be salty people. We are called to influence and to flavor humanity with the good news of Jesus Christ. Another question, will the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ hold fast to the word of life? There's an attack on the Bible. It has been around for generations, but it's intensifying. And today, unfortunately, even the news media is picking up what is post-Christian, anti-Christian rhetoric. So will the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ hold fast to the word of life? Will we draw courage in these latter days from the scriptures? Will we? What say ye this morning? Amen. Will the Church of Lord Jesus Christ maintain her clear counterculture witness to a world that seems bent on ruin? I heard someone say that the world is going to hell and they don't know it. It is true. It is crazy out there. And what is happening now, which is really concerning me, is that the public schools, the government schools now, are taking the same rhetoric, and they're so influencing children from a young age. What has changed the mindset of older Americans now, the Generation X, millennials and all that, was the government. The government started indoctrinating kids real young. That's how you win a nation. I was with a Catholic priest recently talking, and he's a friend of mine, and he was bemoaning how the Catholic Church, for the most part, is in a demise. And he said, we often wonder why we're losing people. I said, I'll tell you why you're losing people. At one time, the Catholic Church educated more people than any institution on the planet. And as they lost that basic sense of education, and really that's what Bible teaching is. Indoctrination is taking a truth and teaching someone about it. And when the Catholic Church started shutting down their schools because they weren't making profit, they started losing people because now the government is telling them what truth is. Now the government schools are telling them what reality is. Look, I'm not picking on the government school. It's a fact. More kids are lost to the gospel in college. They go to college. They get twisted. And they only hear one view. And if you have a dissenting view, you're not too popular. You're not too popular at all. And so I believe this, to forget our Creator is to forget who we are. Did you hear that? To forget who He is the Lord. To forget our Creator, our only true and living God, is to forget who we are. For He has made us for Himself. And I don't believe we can really know ourselves, truly know ourselves, without knowing Him who made us. We have a track that we keep in the office when we pass out. There's a picture of a man. He has a big hole in his stomach, and he's looking through himself, and it says, what will fill the gap? It says on the inside, drugs won't fill it. Alcohol won't fill it. Sex won't fill it. Education won't fill it. Marriage won't fill it. Only Jesus can fill that gap. Only Jesus. We did not make ourselves. And I don't believe no amount of surgery, no amount of clothes or makeup would change what we were born to be. Are you ready to go ahead? I had to write a lot of this stuff down because I don't want to get all crazy on you. So I don't believe that we are our own. Our true identity as male and female was given to us by God. I'm going to prove that to you biblically and scientifically. I believe it's not only foolish, but it's hopeless to try to make ourselves into be something God did not create us to be. Amen? I saw recently on something I was watching on TV, like the goofiest people in the whole world, and they had a picture of a guy who thinks he's a cat. He tattooed like cat things here. What do you call those things? Whiskers. He had his head shaved and tattooed certain ways so he could be a cat because he believes he's a cat. I don't know where I come from. We call that like demonic. We call that you've lost touch with reality. And that's what happens with people who do not come to know who they are through the God that created them. They created a reality that's not true. It's a false identity. Amen? And there's been an attack on the previously undisputed reality that human beings were created, either male nor female. That's it. We're going to go beyond the Bible in a few moments. But that was an undisputed reality. Nobody in my father's generation will come up and say, yeah, you know what, I'm a mixture. You were male or female. I'm 100% confident I'm a male. I don't have to look in the mirror every morning and say, I am a male, I'm not a female. No, I'm convinced that I am a male. Got to get a witness from somebody in this room to help me out just a little bit. A couple of people are like, what? And I believe that there are significant differences between the sexes. Be married more than one day, you'll figure that one out. Oh, men, you men are in trouble. And I believe that these differences can be seen on the different roles that people naturally take as they progress in a relationship or through life. Simply stated, here it is. And I'm not being mean. We're going to talk about how to be loving in a moment. But simply stated, here it is. Want me to simply state it? There is no such thing as transgender. No such thing. No such thing. God made us male and female. Do you realize that a transgender person is 19 times more likely to commit suicide? 19 times. And one of the reasons why is these transgenders, they literally cut themselves off from reality. They live like in an LSD world. They have to create a new paradigm on who they are and where they live. And then they want you to affirm that by agreeing with them. They say, no one, not even God, will tell me what I am or what I can do. You can construct yourself to be whoever you want to be, whether it's reality or not. You know what has embellished that is the internet. There is weirdness out there. My daughter had said something a long time ago, I'd never even heard of it, called the dark internet. The dark web, there it is. Where you can go into the dark web and see unspeakable things. People doing unspeakable, ungodly, illegal, demonic things. And people enjoy that. They fantasize about that. You're detached from reality. And so when we talk about extremes, here we go. This is what kind of got me going. This is an extreme. You ready for an extreme? In Australia, a few months ago, two parents took their 5-year-old child to a doctor and had a sex change done on him. 5 years old. Those parents should go to prison. That doctor should have his license stripped from him. He should go to prison right next to them. Taking a 5-year-old child, and you determine what sex he is, and you have him surgically altered. Who would think of it? You don't think it's going to come to America? When you start see things happen in Canada, around the different countries of the world, it comes to America eventually. Now the government's insane. The parents will determine what sex they want. You have a little boy. I didn't really want a boy. I wanted a girl, so reconstruct him physically. It's happening right now. Let me tell you when I believe the attack began on male and female created in the image of God. I believe that the first wave of it came during the modern feminist movement. I've researched this, and I was doing it last night again. The modern not even back in the 1800s when the feminist movement really started, it was really about social justice. And I'm for social justice for women. Amen. I believe women can do anything a man can do. I used to say they can't grow a beard, but that has changed now. With all the hormones and milk and stuff like that. Anyways, wow. I should have went down that road. I have 16 women waiting in the back for me as soon as I get out of here. We got to talk to you. You were looking at me when you said that beard thing. I was not. But the modern feminist movement now has taken extreme. Some of it has gone to such an extreme that they actually hate men. I personally know of two family members who were normal young people, went away to college, were involved with music and the arts and things like that, filled with homosexuality and lesbianism. And while they were in college, they were converted. Horrible. And what fueled the fire was they were taught that people hate you because of this, your orientation. But it was really an ideology. It was really a philosophy. I know many people who've come out of that lifestyle. And we have choices that we make, amen? But I believe that first wave of attack came through, if you were back there in the 60s, you remember it, the whole social justice movement, which I think had validity. But now it has moved to an extreme where it hates men. They want to become men. But they hate. That's exactly right. And I believe that, and I don't have time to expound on all this, but the second wave, I believe, came as a result of the radical homosexual movement. I've watched it grow in its intensity. If you get a chance, we're going to be talking about next week when we're going to be advertising again the six-week series on the Conquer series for men. You're going to go back and see where the very beginning happened with homosexuality and how they were pervasive. They want to get into the schools. That was their number one target, get into where the little kids are and convert them to think that it's okay. And eventually when you can become accepting of something, look, if any man is honest in here, when you're young, anything will make you excited. Get enough drugs, get enough booze in you, anything is possible and you can do anything. Anybody who doesn't believe that is very foolish. And so there's been this huge movement of homosexuality that's trying to invade everything in life. I believe that homosexuals have the right in America to be a homosexual. I also have the right to believe that I don't agree with it. You want to practice? This is America. If you're not hurting yourself or hurting another person, you have the right to do that in America. And I'll fight for your right to do that. I might not agree with you and your lifestyle choice, but if you want to make that choice, you have the right to do that. But I have the right to disagree with you for biblical reasons and moral reasons. Will you support me? And I believe it's an estimated, I was just checking it again this morning on a couple different sources, that it's estimated 3.5 adults in the United States, percentage of adults in America, identify themselves as lesbian, gay, or bisexual. And out of that, 0.3% consider themselves transgender. We're going to go someplace. But I believe that the third wave of assault against the sexes come from this transgender movement. And the third wave of attack, it attacks reality. I am something other than what God and even science says that I am. It's the movement of personal identity. I don't know if any of you guys remember this last year, the NAACP, National Organization of the Advancement of Colored People, they had a woman that was running that. And everybody thought she was black. She said she was black. She was white. She had a good tan repeatedly. Had a little Spanish blood in her, looked a little bit maybe biracial. She was white. She was exposed for a lie and a fraud. And when she was queried about it, she said, well, maybe I'm not, but I identify with it. I identify myself as tall and thin. Apparently, no one else is identifying with me with that issue. And so her thing was, once I identify with something, therefore it's true. No, it's a lie. It's not reality. Amen? All people have a biological sexual assignment. All people do. You have it's identifiable at birth. It's immutable throughout life. And it's what makes you male and female. That is it. That's science. That's the Bible. So let me tell you where the hair-splitting issue happens. And we'll get to the Bible. I will quote some scriptures. Is the difference between gender and sex. They confuse it. They blur the lines there. According to this new gender theology, the word sex is only restricted to a biological description of who you are. You might define me as a biological XS or XY person, but that's not who I am, even though science says that's who I am. And gender describes your social or cultural manifestations of that sex, sexual orientation. So I might say, yes, I am XX, which is a female, but I identify myself. I change that. Forget science. Forget the Bible. I'm now identifying myself as something different. Just because you identify yourself as something that is not true doesn't make it real, and it's not reality. That's why eventually when these people wake up, I have read, my daughter sent me something about a person who was transsexual, had the operation, and their eyes were finally open. What do you do after you've had surgery? I have a friend of mine, this was 25, 30 years ago. He pastored a church in New Jersey. He had a woman who got saved in his church. He told me, she wasn't a pretty thing, you know. Sorry, ladies. But anyways, said she was tall, kind of mannish, had big hands and all that. So she's in the church about 4 years. It was Phyllis, told me. After 4 years, she makes an appointment with the pastor and says, I am not Phyllis, I'm Phil. I had an operation. Gender reassignment. But since I got saved, since I've been walking with the Lord, I've been healed emotionally now. And now I'm back attracted, but I don't have the plumbing. I don't know what to say. What do I do? We're going back 25, 30 years ago. It wasn't on the forefront of the pages of the newspapers. So he prayed and he said, you know, sin has marred you so bad. It's irreparable. What you do need is stay celibate and the rest of your life to serve the Lord with all the vim, vigor, and vitality. We're created in his image. We're created by him. So it's all about how a person feels and how they experience his or her sexual identity and how their sexual identity is shaped by culture, not God. That's really a big movement. Who could think two parents would take their child and have them sexually altered at 5 years old? Who could even think, what kind of monster doctor would even do something like that? If individuals are unhappy because they want to be the sex they were not born with, they just identify with whatever they want to be. And if you get enough money, you can change that. According to the American Psychiatric Association, it says that they suffer from gender dysphoria. So some believe that they were born with the body of one sex, but they have the psyche of another. They want their bodies to be changed to match their internal wiring. They're convinced that they want you to see them the way they see themselves. I'm not mocking this, but the other day I was at Honest Weight Food Co-op. I wasn't sure what walked by me. If any person was to look like that, if you saw them 25 years ago, you would say they just escaped a psychiatric center. The guy had a culture. He was like a Pakistani. You see, Pakistanis, they got more beards per square inch than any people on the planet. Some of these Pakistanis just like tight, you know, and they could grow fur, everything. Some of them. He had facial hair like that, lipstick, earrings on, dress. Men's shoes. I'm like, am I confused or are you confused? Now, the problem is, the disconnect is, they're not living in reality. And that's where that ideology, the philosophy takes you. It takes you into a realm of non-reality. No wonder there's such a high rate of suicide among them. They're confused, and we need to pray for them. The Femi Research Council affirms this. What has been accepted as both normal and indisputable about sexual differences is objectively knowable, and that redefining them will be harmful to the individual and to the family at large. I have family members that have had to deal with this. You want to tear a family up? This is horrifying to do that to yourself. Here's the truth. No one can change his or her sex. No one. You can't go back and take a little pill and that you were XX, now you're XY. Impossible to do that. The DNA in every person's body is marked clearly XY male. Yes, and XX female. And the hormones that are in a child's body when they're conceived is working for one thing, to shape their development and their sex. Amen? I read something about psychiatrists and surgeons who have served transsexual clients. They know that surgery does not change your sex. Changes your plumbing. I don't know what else to call it. I had read about the most renowned physician who does these sex changes is Moroccan. And he said this, is a quote. He says, "I don't change men into women. I change male genitals into genitals that have a female aspect." He said, "All else is in the patient's mind." This is the most renowned physician who does these type of operations. So a person's sexual identity, male or female, is immutable, is biological. That's reality. That's the fact. That's I'm laying out there before we get some scriptures, all right? Whew. This is hard, but it's true. So there's no rational or compassionate reason to affirm this distorted psychological self-concept that one's gender identity is different from their biological identity. We're going to get to the Bible now. You ready? You're not being compassionate by a person who comes up and says to you, "I was born a male, but now I'm a female, and I've had the operation." You're not compassionate by saying, "Oh, that's wonderful." I'm not saying you can say that's horrible either. I'm saying you're not being compassionate just because you agree with somebody who's not living in the reality of what science and the Bible says. You're not doing them a favor. You need the wisdom of God. You need to speak in the love of God. You need a word from God to see them. They are dead in their sins and their trespasses. They're in bondage as much as any addict to a drug is. They're lost. They're dead. And they need deliverance. Amen? So what's our response? I believe that America and the church is at this tipping point, and it's becoming very hostile towards the church in America, being promoted by not extreme, just extreme people, but even the media is purporting this as normal. We are not normal because we have a different view. We are not the normal people because we believe that God created male and female. We're not normal because we believe that He is God. He alone is God. And to know myself, I have to know Him. So here's a couple of things I prayed about and I want to give you. My response as a Christian, what can I do? My response as a Christian. Number one, pray. Bring up 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. I can't believe you guys didn't get that. I sent it to all three of you, three of them. Okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul said this, "But if our gospel be hid," one version says if it's veiled, there it is, that's the New King James, "it is hid to them who are lost." The problem with people who are deceived is they don't know it. So if the gospel is veiled, if it's hid, it's to those who are lost, those who are dying in their sins. Verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world," can somebody tell me his name? Satan. He is the God of this world. "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not." The word "minded" is a Greek word. That means whatever the mind receives as reality, perceives as reality, is how you live your life. "In whom the God of this world had blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." That's the answer right there. We need to pray. We need to take the word of God. We need to take the name of Jesus. Early this morning, the Holy Spirit was reminding me of some prevailing spirit in this city. And I engage that foul devil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't worry about him. I don't need an army to do that, because greater is he who's in me than he who's within the world. I need to walk around the city with 5,000 people. I don't need to get in a plane and go up to the high places. You don't think that happened? I know ministries who would rent planes and drive over cities thinking they're going to go up to the high places. Jesus already destroyed the high places. He made a show of the devil openly. He tried to triumph over him in it. And by the way, you're going to call the devil down from the high places? Where are you going to call him down to? On your head? He's under your foot right now. A lot of stuff is just trash and sells books and movies. That's about it. It's not biblical. And so, number one thing, we got to pray. You got to bind. You got to loose. If the gospel is hid, if you have a loved one that is sucked into this or any other kind of sin, you must take the name of Jesus. You must speak against that. You must hold fast your confession of faith over them without wavering, and you're going to get it. I believe that we're moving right now in America and other nations into a Romans 1 scenario. Listen to this. I'm going to read from Romans verse 1, verse 21 and 22. Romans 1, verse 21 and 22. I believe it's a Roman 1 scenario. Paul said this, speaking about those. He said this, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. That's the whole agnostic thing. Yeah, I'm not saying there isn't a God. I'm agnostic. Maybe there is and maybe there is not. No. A lot of those people who believe that grew up in church, grew up hearing the gospel, but the culture so influenced them that now it says this, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Why do you think we praise God so much in this church? Because one of the keys of a reprobate mind is you're not thankful. They were not thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Verse 25 says, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Is that not the transgender movement? Science and the Bible says there is no such thing as transgender. Take it to the bank. It's an ideology. It's something created in their own mind. There is no such thing as transgender biblically or scientifically. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. God said, I created them male and female. In the beginning, he created them male and female. So they lie against the truth. They lie against their own conscience. And now they create who they are in their image, not in the image of God. It's an affront against the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, and they worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Who's the creature? They are. Creating God. That's what humanism is all about. No longer is it God is the center of all things. It's man that is the center. Life in God himself revolves around man, not man around God, who is blessed forever. Amen. Romans verse 28 and 29. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. At some point, those who continually refuse the wooing and the drawing of the Holy Spirit, eventually they're giving over to their own demise, to a debased mind, a depraved mind, to do those things which are not fitting, cutting your body parts off. Being filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality and wickedness. So the number one thing we need to do, and this is serious, you need to pray for these kids in schools. They're facing challenges you and me never faced until we were adults. And enough social pressure. You know, when you were younger, I wanted people to like me. So many times we just go with the flow of what's happening in the school, right? Number two, what we can do? We can choose to remain silent. By the way, silent is consent. Silence is consent. You can try to avoid the cultural onslaught against the truth of the scriptures. The problem is your silence deprives the culture from the truth they so desperately need to hear. The Apostle Paul stood on Mars Hill debating with the Epicureans about who they had many gods, polytheistic. He got up and he spoke about the only true and living God. And man, they tried to kill him. At one point he was in a room, he had to go out a window in a basket. They hated him because he stood for the truth. and you will be hated. Jesus said that before he was taken up. He said, you are not of this world. John 15, you are not of this world. We are not of this world. I don't belong to myself. I don't belong to this world. And I don't belong to the devil. I belong to the one who created me. And he created me male. I'm just putting it out there. Thank you for the confirmation up front here. I was wavering for a moment there, but hallelujah. Silence is consent. Number three, you can choose condemnation. You can condemn them. You can judge them. You can speak evil of them. But I remind you, Romans 3:23 says, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our duty as Christians is to speak the truth of God in love at all times, considering ourselves. We must pray for the power of a well-timed word. If you're dealing with somebody, now look, today I would respond to somebody differently today than I would 30 years ago. Because it would be so odd if some guy showed up at work in a dress with lipstick on. We're talking odd. Today I can go to the Honest White Fool Co-op and see 10. I fit right in among them. They all sit at the same table with a bunch of them there, and hey, pass the pepper. I'm not going to judge them. When I get with them, I pray for them. I bind that spirit over them, and I'm going to try to love them. I'm going to see them come to Christ. I'm going to see them come into the real reality that they were created by a loving, caring God, and he has a plan and a purpose for their life. Number four, we can choose to be courageous. I believe we must declare the love of the Word of God in the same spirit that Jesus had, no matter what the personal cost. The book of Jude, remember, Jude was a half-brother of Jesus, and he wrote the New Testament bearing his name. He was involved with the Christian movement, but that Christian movement in his day was facing these ungodly people. He said they perverted the grace of God into sensuality. Is that not what's happening today? Here's how Jude responded. Jude, verse 3. He said, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. Can we agree upon that in this room? We have a common salvation. His name is Jesus Christ. We trust in nothing but the Lord. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. And I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to all the saints. Interesting, that word contend means to make a strenuous effort. It means to stand with a stance or an attitude of fighting something. We are called in these latter days, these perilous days, we must contend for the faith. We must have the tongue of a ready writer. We must know the hope that's within the inside of us. We must not be judgmental. We must be loving. We must be caring. We must be vigilant, but we must use the name of Jesus. You must remember they are lost. They are dead. Their minds, their lives, they're encaptured by Satan. It's truth. It's not something you preach from the pulpit. It's a living reality. All of us lived in darkness. All of us were held in sin's sway until the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shined in our heart, and we were born again. We were born again. Jude chose to take a stand outrageously, courageously for the truth of the scriptures. That's our attitude. I encourage you not to. I only said what I said about the person on Honest Way because they're already out there. I watched as people walk by looking at this individual. Even people who believe in that were like, you know, that look like, what? What? But eventually, when you see something strange and odd long enough, it becomes normal. When silence is the only response that you have. Now look, I'm not saying you should run up to them and sign turn or burn. I'm not talking about that. If God causes someone like that to cross your path, you must pray for them. These two individuals in our family, me and my wife for years, have been praying and even fasting for their freedom in Christ. And they will be free in Christ. Let me close with this. Matthew 19:4. Can we stand up together as we read this? Would you help me? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them? Let's read that one more time. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? Verses 5 and 6. And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Verse 6. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. You may be seated. We'll be done in a moment. If you have your little handout sheet, I want you to take it out real quick. There's some hard statements in here. It's for the Christians. I don't care who reads it, but it's for Christians to have a point of reference. I hope you heard today that not only does the Bible declare male and female, but science does also. So you can read the preamble. I just want to go through a couple of these principles real quick. Principle one, we affirm that God has designed marriage to be a covenantal, sexual, procreative, lifelong union of one man and one woman as husband and wife, and is meant to signify the covenant love between Christ and his bride, the church, Ephesians chapter 5. Do you agree with that? I don't think that's condemning, do you? We deny that God has designed marriage to be a homosexual, polygamous, or polyamorous relationship. We also deny that marriage is a mere human contract rather than a covenant made before God. That's why divorce is so high in America, because they don't see it as covenantal. They see it as, you know, maybe. Principle two, we affirm that God's revealed will for all people is chastity outside of marriage. Keep it low. Outside of marriage and fidelity within marriage. You're single here? You should not be involved sexually with anybody. Boys and girls, I don't care how old you are, you should not be alone with the opposite sex. Alone. I've seen people fall. Good people who love God fall. You shouldn't be alone parking. Look, we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all agree to that, do we not? If you're single, protect your testimony and protect the testimony of the person you say you love. We deny that any affections, desires, or commitments ever justify sexual intercourse before or outside of marriage, nor do they justify any form of sexual immorality. It does not. Principle three, we affirm that God created Adam and Eve, the first human beings, in his own image and equal before God as persons and distinct as male and female. We deny that the divinely ordained differences between male and female render them unequal in dignity or worth. Jesus liberated women. I believe in my own marriage, I can only speak for that. My wife is not greater than me, nor am I greater than her. We have different functions, yes, but before God, we are one. We are one. I don't denigrate her. I don't put her down. Did that when I first got married? Yes. Did she disciple me? Yes. My daughter can attest, my son, I do dishes, I do toilets, I mop, I clean, I mow lawns. I can do it all. And my wife taught me. I'm not ashamed to say it. She gave you permission, if she's watching, to say it. Principle four, we affirm that divinely ordained differences between male and female reflect God's original creation design and are meant for human good and human flourishing. We deny that any such differences are a result of the fall or a tragedy to be overcome. Principle five, we affirm that the differences between male and female reproductive structures are integral to God's design for self-conception as male or female. We deny that any physical anomalies or psychological conditions nullify the God-appointed link between biological sex and self-conception as male or female. Are you okay? Why are you doing all this, Pastor Fink? Why? Because the nations and your children are being inundated with this right here. They must have a biblical foundation and moorings, or they will be swept into this lie. We're almost there. Six. We affirm that those born with a physical disorder of sexual development are created in the image of God and have dignity and worth equal to all other image bearers. They are acknowledged by our Lord Jesus Christ in his words about eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb. With all others, they are welcome as faithful followers of Jesus Christ and should embrace their biological sex insofar as it may be known. We deny that ambiguities related to a person's biological sex renders one incapable of living a fruitful life in joyful obedience to Jesus Christ. Amen. 7. We affirm that self-conception as male or female should be defined by God's holy purposes in creation and redemption as revealed in the scriptures. We deny that adopting a homosexual or transgender self-conception is consistent with God's holy purposes in creation and redemption. Can I get an amen with that? We affirm that people who experience sexual attraction for the same sex may live a rich and fruitful life pleasing to God through faith in Jesus Christ, as they, like all Christians, walk in purity of life. We deny that sexual attraction for the same sex is part of the natural goodness of God's original creation, or that it puts a person outside the hope of the gospel. 9, we affirm that sin, Jesus loves the homosexual and the lesbian. I got 2. You were going to hell as much as any other person was until the grace of God shone in your heart. They need Jesus. We affirm that sin distorts sexual desires by directing them away from the marriage covenant and towards sexual immorality, a distortion that includes both heterosexual and homosexual immorality. We deny that an enduring pattern of desire for sexual immorality justifies sexual immoral behavior. We affirm that it is sinful to approve of homosexual immorality or transgenderism, and that such approval constitutes an essential departure from Christian faithfulness and witness. We deny that the approval of homosexual immorality or transgenderism is a matter of moral indifference about which otherwise faithful Christians should agree to disagree. We affirm our duty to speak the truth in love at all times, including when we speak to or about one another as male or female. We deny any obligation to speak in such a way that dishonors God's design of his image bearer as male and female. Let me just say this. I think it is wrong. When I first came to Albany, I said I will have zero tolerance for racism. Look, at racism is just black or white. It's Asian, it's Spanish, it can be anything any different. And so zero tolerance. And we should not speak down to another gender. If you're a male, you should not be speaking down to a female. If you're a female, you should not be speaking down to a male. We are created in his image. From one blood he took and made all the nations. In Christ, we're brothers and sisters, and we should celebrate our diversity. Amen? We're almost done. Verse number 12, we affirm that the grace of God in Christ gives both merciful pardons and transforming power. Anybody here been transformed by the power of God? From every sin. And that this pardon and power enables a follower of Jesus to put to death sinful desires and to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord. If you know Jesus, you have done this. We deny that the grace of God in Christ is insufficient to forgive all sexual sins. His grace is amazing. We affirm, number 13, that the grace of God in Christ enables sinners to forsake transgender self-conceptions and by divine forbearance to accept the God-ordained link between one's biological sex and one's self-conception as male and female. We deny that the grace of God in Christ sanctions self-conceptions that are at odds with God's revealed will. The last one, we affirm that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. Hallelujah. 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 We affirm the grace of Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. Paul said, I am the chief of all sinners. And that through Christ's death and resurrection, forgiveness of sins and eternal life are available to every person who repents of sins and trusts in Christ alone as Savior and Lord and supreme treasure. We deny that the Lord's arm is too short to save, that any sinner is beyond his reach. We deny that. God gives every believer power to overcome sexual sins. Let's stand up. I know this was a difficult subject. I didn't want to speak on it.